This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run with Philip C, Mark Tan, and I'm Wong Xiaoning. It is 8:37, Monday, the 29th of May, and as usual, in about 30 minutes, we have the opening bell where we check out how Bursa Malaysia begins the trading day. Let's just hope it's a wonderful week ahead. But before that, let's talk about Lima 2023, Malaysia's International Arms Exhibition. Is it arms? I think it's more than that. Made a comeback this year. Its first show after a four-year hiatus, drawing record crowds. The Defence Ministry signed 43 deals worth 10.1 billion ringgit, a significant increase from the 3.7 billion ringgit that was seen during Lima 2019.
Notably, Malaysia purchased 18 Korea aerospace industry jets to be used for both flight training and light combat, and additional purchases of fast interceptor craft and more drones. Other news from Lima includes the announcement that the littoral combat ship LCS project will now be absorbed into the Ministry of Finance and will cost an additional 2 billion ringgit.
While the National Defence Industry Policy Blueprint, which was expected to be unveiled in Lima this year, has been delayed due to a review. Now, the Defence Minister said that more input was needed from stakeholders, and it not only involves the Ministry but also industry players. So how will the developments from Lima 2023 impact the development of our defence preparedness for the future?
For some insights, we speak to defence writer Mahalin Abbas. Good morning, Mahalin. Thank you for joining us this morning. And can you just give us a brief overview of Lima and its importance in the defence calendar of events, both for Malaysia and internationally?
It is very important event in Malaysia, though internationally it's not that as important. I think the Singapore issue has taken over Lima in terms of attendance and importance. But as it is, Lima is a section at the same time. The Singapore issue only has the aerospace section.
In terms of government procurement, the defence contracts value this year is almost triple that of Lima 2019. While it signals increased priority in advancing national security, how much of it is actually to improve our capabilities, or was most of it on maintenance and replacements?
Actually, it improved the capabilities, some part of it. The only thing about the Air Force contracts, the fleet, LCA, MPA, and US Mali, and out of the 10.1 billion, half of those is from the three contracts, actually. And the rest, as you say, is the maintenance contracts and a few one or two new contracts. But in terms of capability, I'm not so sure about that. But it's incremental capabilities, but not tremendous amount of capabilities, actually.
There were notably new purchases related to border security, interceptor crafts, planes and drones. How will this improve border security, especially along the Sabah coast and in the South China Sea?
For the MPA and for the drones, it will increase the monitoring capabilities along, especially in the South China Sea, because those drones and the MPA will be specifically for those for South China Sea. But for East Coast of Sabah, I'm not so sure about that. Maybe they will go down there. The problem was that even though the Home Minister was there the whole week, but he was not there to announce anything. He left without giving a press conference and all. So even though police and MMEA or APMM, the Coast Guard, presence were big, nothing was said about procurement plans, what going to do with the borders, things like that, and also future procurements, which is, of course, important. But somehow, rather the KDN, the Home Ministry thought it would not be a good idea to say anything at Lima. They just keep quiet, actually.
So does this signal that perhaps we are not taking sufficient measures to respond to the potential risks on our borders?
I'm not so sure about that, but I think the Home Minister, I think, is deferring to the Prime Minister on because it costs a lot of money to buy these kind of things. And I think they're referring to the budget. And I've been told on the quiet by industry people that there are no money, no big purchases planned for the, at least for the Coast Guard in the near future. So I think that's the reason why.
Now that we have a homegrown naval combat management system and the ability to build our own ships, how far along are we towards the pursuit of self-reliance? How will this influence the way we engage our defence partners in the region?
Basically, it's a long way from self-reliance, really. Because even though we have the CMS, it can build ships, small ships, up to 80 metres, even bigger ships like the LCS, but most of the equipment to be put inside, like engines, radars, generators, guns and missiles, we need to be imported. Because only a small number of countries can build ships with their own engineers equipment. And in terms of engagement, again, we are somehow or rather reluctant to do that on a multilateral basis. We do it one-to-one countries, things like that. And even though we have the capabilities, it won't change our engagement with our neighbors.
Now, with a shift from British to Korean light combat aircraft and the absence of Russia, leaving questions on the future of our MiG and Sukhoi jets that are due for replacement, you know, Mahalim, in your view, right, are you seeing a shift away from these long-standing vendors to perhaps a more Asian-focused supply chain for defence purchases?
That's a wrong perception, actually, because we only bought the Korean aircraft, because it's the most suitable aircraft to meet our needs, actually. None of the available Western jet meet our requirements. And even the other Asian aircraft, like from China and Pakistan and also India, they may be cheaper. But at the end of the day, we need to invest in other things. So in the end, we will lose. The aircraft was good. It's good enough to meet our needs. And that's why the Air Force bought it.
And what do you make of Russia's absence in Lima? And what does this mean for our defense deals with them?
The sanctions, the US sanctions, that's it. Because the Russians cannot pay our people there. Because all the banks, the main arms export agency, Rosatom-Boron Export, is sanctioned. They cannot participate in Lima unless they pay cash. And I don't think the Russians will trust their own people to carry tons of cash here to pay to join the exhibition. I've been told one or two business deals that were supposed to be done through Russia were stopped because again we cannot get paid, we cannot pay them actually. So a few deals had to be cancelled because no one would take the risk. Because the Qatar sanctions, the US sanctions against Russia is very complete, and you can get your bank account sanctioned, even though for just transferring money from them. So no one will dare to do it.
Now, Mahalim, the National Defence Industry Policy was supposed to be unveiled during Lima, but this has been delayed due to a review. Do you have any insights into the reasons for the delay, and what do you think we need to address in terms of Malaysia's defence preparedness?
No, I have no further insight from the fact it was not unveiled at Lima, even though the minister had said earlier that it will be done at the show. And there's no one will say when you're going to be unveiled. I'm not sure when. The main thing is Malaysia is a maritime nation, but apparently we are not giving maritime sector the priority. The main funding remains the army because they are the biggest and also the most influential in the government. And it appears that even the present government is continuing with that policy, meaning prioritizing the army instead of the navy or the air force. Yeah, we should be prioritizing our maritime sector.
Now, the littoral combat ship project has now been absorbed into the Ministry of Finance with an additional cost of 2 billion ringgit. And with only 5 ships confirmed out of the initial 6, in your view, will this finally resolve the long-standing project?
No, because I've been talking to the people in the industry and they're not so sure whether it will be successful or not. And from my personal perspective, seeing this thing from 2005 to 2006, I'm not so sure it will be a success actually. And to think about it, that the first ship is supposed to come in 2026. That's almost 7 years before the earlier deadline, which was 2019. So there is no guarantee that the ship will be as good as expected. From the experience of the Kedah class, the first ship that was built in Malaysia, not the only the four. The two earlier ships were built in Germany and outfitted in Malaysia. I'm not so sure the LCS will be as good as they said. To me, it's a waste of money, actually. I think they're just going to complete the ship and say, we got the ship, and whatever money we spend is good enough.
So, the $1 trillion question, or maybe the $2 billion question, where is the extra money going to come from to fund it?
I believe it will be coming from the two RMK, the current RMK, RMK 12 funding, 1 billion from this period 2021 to 2025, and the extra 1 billion plus from the next one, from 2026, and then the 5 years, the RMK 13. But I'm not sure they can finish it by 11 billion. I've been told earlier, much earlier, that to finish the ship costs around 12 billion to 14 billion. That was for 6 ships, I'm told. That was the 6 ships. But still, again, now 5 ships, I've not been told or persuaded to the contrary that will be enough, it will be enough money, 11.1 billion to complete the project.
All right, thank you for your time. That was defense writer Mahalin Abbas giving us his view on the importance of Lima 2023 and also the role it plays in our defense strategy as a country. And what's that defense blueprint, right? Delayed. Yeah.
Interestingly, without the defense blueprint, this Lima had record announcements on deals, right, with those jets in place as well. So, you know, I guess that's the question, right? Should the blueprint been done in place before the procurement?
Now, back to this literal corporate ships, right? So we are paying an extra $2 billion for it, and we're getting one less ship. And these ships are so delayed. I think it's, 5-7 years delay for these ships? I mean, I wonder whether these ships will even be, you know, modern by the time it's launched, or it's be outdated technology.
Well, that's why now the governance has moved to the Ministry of Finance. Essentially, they've been put into the naughty corner.
Let's hope they have something to deliver after a few years and not just ships that have disappeared. But up next, we'll be diving into the corporate results from the banking and auto sector. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.